Today on Real Radio.
I love the fact that God is possessive about us. There's a possessiveness that encourages me greatly. Father, you've given them to me. Didn't Jesus say, all those who will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out? Didn't the Bible say that all those who put their trust in him shall never be put to shame? Doesn't the scripture say that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved? Didn't he say, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? Didn't he say, I am a jealous God?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. And in today's presentation, we'll be taking a look at the entire 17th chapter, which might be called one of the red letter chapters. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Prayer of Jesus.
Get out your pen and jot this down. Verse 2 screams the Trinity. Did you know that? So I don't see the Holy Spirit in there. Yeah, you do. Look closer. As you have given him. Who's talking? It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Father, but it's in the third person. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. It's so simple. That what's going on here is that those who are going to go to heaven, the Father is drawing them to Jesus. This ought to just excite every person in here who wants Jesus Christ. Do you want Jesus? Do you want him? Yeah. Say, yeah, I want him. You know why you want him? The Father has been going like this to you. Come here. Come here. Come to my son. Come on. Now, if you don't want Jesus, the Father is not even talking to you. You will live this life, and this will be the best life and the only life you'll have ever known. And then when you die, there's nothing left but, according to the Bible, according to the very words of Jesus, an eternity in hell. And you will never see the light of eternity. No one can quite explain hell, although we have descriptions of attributes of it. This is what we can conclude. It is a place of absolute isolation. Absolute loneliness that no one has ever known, such loneliness. It is a sensation of falling, as it were, in a bottomless pit. You never stop falling. There is a sensation of feel of a worm. There's some sort of a worm in the spirit world that consume, or I should say, is attempting to consume your body. But it's never full. There are flames that burn you, but they give no light. You are in a place called outer darkness. It is so bad, the Bible says, that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I saw my wife this week in such great pain that she was grinding her teeth. Can you imagine being in hell and grinding your teeth and you look, as it were, if you could, at a clock and it never moves? There's no remedy coming. Say, Jack, you're freaking me out. I brought my friend here to have a happy day and all this stuff. Listen, here's my point. I'm glad you're here. But listen, here's the thing. I am not going to be guilty of giving you some little warm, fuzzy, cute, huggy message and you go skipping on your way. Go over here to islands, slip on a banana and die and go into eternity, and I didn't tell you the truth. You know, I'd rather have you hate me and you know the truth than have you like me for a couple of hours or days and it winds up meaning nothing. What do you think Jesus came for? to keep us out of the hell that he said he made for the devil and his fallen angels. He doesn't want humans to go there. But if you're sitting here this morning going, I don't care. I don't care. I had somebody tell me, I told you this before, I couldn't believe it. I almost threw the guy over the pier. I was on the pier sharing the Lord with this guy, and this guy goes, I don't care if I go to hell. In fact, would you say it? Yeah, I said, there's a lake of fire there. Lake of fire? I water ski. I'm just going to water ski in the lake of fire. I said, with my friends. You're not going to have any friends there. And you're not going to be water skiing on the lake of fire. I mean, he was thinking like it's going to be a picnic. Listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Do you want Jesus Christ? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to experience eternal life? If you do, listen, if you do and you've never confessed him as Lord and Savior, do it now today. If you don't care about what I'm talking about, you're not called. From eternity, he's not calling you. He's never been calling you. You could care less. You're thinking, when's this guy going to shut up? I got 20 minutes. Look at the third verse. And this is eternal life. Oh, man. This is life never ending forever and ever. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's it. You want to get to heaven? Verse 3. Believe in him. Trust him. That is honoring. Jot that down. Number 1, direct. Verse 1, we have direct access to God. Number 2, verse 2. It's so simple. God is calling you. Respond to him. Number 3, honoring. Honoring. We see this in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Honor God. Is that too hard to do? Honor God. I tell you, it is very difficult to do when our pride is in the way, when we think we are the big kahuna. But to bow the knee, Satan himself, it's going to be amazing. Satan himself is going to bow his knee to Jesus, and he's going to say, you are the Lord, and he's going to mean it. And I don't know about you, but I'm sorry. That's like a pregame show warm-up fun thing. Just to think that Satan is going to say, you are the Lord, because he thinks he's the Lord. You are the Lord. I don't know. There's going to be a cheering section from Calvary Chapel. It's going to go, yeah, all right, yeah, go. It's going to be great. Every knee will bow. Now, here's the thing. I want to bow my knee willfully and gladly. But it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. But here's the cool thing. Read the fine print. If you bow your knee now, the Bible says you'll pass from judgment to life. So that you'll like bowing your knee down to Jesus every moment of the day. It'll be the joy of your life. Direct, simple, honoring. Look at verses 4 through 6, encouraging. Verses 4 through 6, I have glorified you on the earth, Jesus says. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Listen, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Isn't that great? I mean, don't you want Jesus to say that about you? What a great, encouraging thing to say. There is there's a possessiveness that a mother will have with a child. There's a possessiveness even with what a hen will have with her chicks, or maybe a cat with her kittens. Have you seen it? There's a possessiveness. Or our dog with her pups, right? You go to reach for the pup and you'll get a nip, maybe, or a growl. I love the fact that God is possessive about us. There's a possessiveness that encourages me greatly. Father, you've given them to me. Didn't Jesus say, all those who will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out? Didn't the Bible say that all those who put their trust in him shall never be put to shame? Doesn't the scripture say that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved? Didn't he say, "Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world"? Didn't he say, "I am a jealous God"? Oh, I love it. Didn't he tell Abraham? Didn't he speak of the nation Israel, that they're the apple of his eye, the most tender part of his eye? That's how he thinks, and that's what he thinks about you. Encouraging words. This is Jesus's prayer to his Father. What does Jesus think and pray about you? Read John 17. You ever get discouraged? Read John 17. Let's keep going. Verse 7 and 8. Look at the empowerment. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them your words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. The empowerment. This is the basis behind us being confident in our walks as Christians. We have been convinced. And when we pray, we can even use this prayer. Lord, you've prayed for me. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen that confidence that you've given into my life, that I'm a Christian, that your word is true. And Lord, you have prayed this prayer to your Father, and I'm asking God to cause this to be lived out in my own life. Your word is in me, and I'm in this world, and you've left me here, as we'll see in a moment. God, use me. Build up my confidence in your word. How powerful, how encouraging. Not only that, verse 9, we see that it's exclusive, in my opinion, exclusive in a great way. Look what he says. This is rather mind-blowing. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Isn't that interesting? I do not pray for the world. Wow. He prays for us. Let's continue on. Verses 10 to 14. Listen how instructive this is. And all that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, O Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We can keep moving on this, but we need to just address this one spot. What about this son of perdition? What about Judas? From creation, beforehand, in the foreknowledge of God, God knew that Judas would turn on him. God knew this. But listen carefully, and again, I don't want to spend too much time on this. Will you do homework, or will you at least jot down next to verses 10 to 14, Romans chapter 9, and Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Here's the reason why. You guys, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God creates people, even Judas, to send them to hell. We touched on this. Predestination is never mentioned in Scripture in the negative. Predestination, based upon the foreknowledge of God, is always offered up in the positive. That's a very important thing. Example, you've all heard about how Pharaoh hardened his heart, haven't you? Is it interesting? It's 10 times it's recorded in Scripture that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But what you fail maybe to realize is 10 times in the same scriptures, it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. The moral of the story is if you stand in wet cement long enough, you won't be able to get out. If you keep holding a position in your mind, as Judas did, in time, you become set. That was a revelation to the disciples. It's a revelation to everybody who reads the Bible. But was it a revelation to God? No, he knew, didn't he? You see, does God know what I'm going to do tomorrow? He knows everything you're going to do tomorrow. Every bit of it. Well, then why doesn't he just control me so I don't do the wrong thing? Because if he wanted to do that, he would have made a bunch of robots. But why didn't he make a bunch of robots? Because who wants to be around a robot? Who wants to come home to Rosie? Remember Rosie? Anybody remember the Jetsons? Remember Rosie would come home and ding, 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 and she would just do whatever. And can you imagine coming home and having that kind of environment? No. But because God engineered within you that ability to choose, there has to be choice. That choice assumes also that there's love. You've got to choose. Where there is no choice, there is no love. You must have choice before you could ever have worship. You must have choice before you could ever have love. And God engineered that into every human being. So poor Judas didn't walk around saying, man, what a drag. What a bummer I was picked for this job. That was not it. God knew throughout all eternity that Judas would act out the role. Sad, isn't it? Just think when history is written, when it's all over and done, where will you and I be? I know this. I'm going to be in heaven praising God and thanking him moment by moment for getting me there and being totally grateful to him. But there will be those that are in hell who will be cursing themselves, interestingly enough. They won't curse God. We know this from Scripture. They will be cursing themselves and hating themselves for having made the wrong choice. And isn't it a tragic time? You and I live in an age where choice, no one is held responsible anymore for their choices. I got news for you. God is not into situational ethics. You may be, and you may be deceiving yourself, but in the end, God is going to say, give it an account, give it an answer, tell me now. And you can't say, Mom, therapist, oh no. We have to answer. We have to answer before him. Tremendous. Let's continue. We're almost done. Verses 15 to 19, we see here that there's a great commissioning in his wonderful prayer. 15 through 19. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your word. He says, your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. In other words, Jesus is set apart to see to it. You're not left alone. We will be empowered. We will be instructed. We will be on our way. And Jesus is not only ahead of us, but he's behind us, and that's covered. But what I want you to look at here is a prayer that kind of drives me a little wild. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. How I wish that would have been a prayer of the moment they accept you as Lord and Savior, I'll take them out of the world. It's like, wait a minute, what? Can't we go now? Don't you want to go? No, he says, listen, I'm praying. Father, I'm asking that you'd keep them in the world and also that you keep them from the wicked one. Guess who that's a reference to? Satan. Keep us in the world and keep us from the wicked one. It kind of makes you feel that we've got a commission, that we've got a job to do that's, I think, pretty much invincible. You know? You guys, it's great to think that Jesus' prayer right here should really give us the oomph to go outside these doors and be a little radical and reckless for God. Because Jesus is praying that we be kept in the world and that we be kept from the evil one. And that kind of means, I would think, that we're pretty much invincible until he wants us to go home. I would think that's going to encourage us to take some risks, some spiritual risks. Wouldn't it be radical when you leave this place today? Honey, come on, let's go take a spiritual risk. Well, what could that be? I don't know. There's a guy over there changing his tire. Let's pull over. Let's tell him something about God. I mean, I don't know, something crazy. Take a spiritual risk. Jump out there. See what happens. Move on faith and see what God might do. Sign up for something. See what happens. Take a risk. He's commissioned us to do a work. It's going to be exciting to find out what that is. Verses 20 to 26, and we'll be done. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us, you guys. Somewhere along the way, the word came to us here. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. That they may be one just as we are one. Listen to this. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. We hear this over and over again in his prayer. And have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me with may be in them, and I in them. Don't you feel like you're reading someone's diary? Isn't this amazing? Now you see why they call this the Holy of Holies of the New Testament. It's Jesus talking to his Father. And it's all about us. It's incredible. What do we do with it? Well, it seems to me that I'm in him and he's in me. It seems to me that he knows everything about my life and he knows exactly what he wants me to do. Seems to me I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to myself.
Bought with a price. That's why we Christians use the New Testament term redeemed. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Prayer of Jesus, based on the entire 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. We'll continue through this New Testament narrative on our next edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, you might be thinking about how you can possibly hear this study once again. Well, it's pretty easy to do so. Simply pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. In fact, what we heard on today's broadcast is actually part two of this presentation, so you'll be able to hear the entire study. Again, realradioactive.org. Also, you'll be able to hear past broadcasts, and you can become a podcast subscriber at absolutely no cost. realradioactive.org. Now, if you prefer to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and your financial participation. If you'd like to join the team and become a contributor, then pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org and find out more. Meanwhile, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And remember, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, you can find it easily at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.